Do you believe it? That you are forgiven? We've been looking at some of the more unusual prayers in the scripture during Lent, and the prayer that we look at today is the musical prayer found in Psalm 51, which is the prayer of a repentant heart. Here's how that psalm starts. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. The image here is that sin has stained our clothes. And we come here in this psalm to have that washed away. It's a prayer of repentance for that forgiveness of God to just wash away all that sin, all that stain. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Now here he's not saying that he doesn't recognize that he's done anything to hurt anybody else, but he realizes that everything he's done to anybody, he's done to God. And he says, surely I was sinful from my birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me, yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I'll be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. It's a prayer for that clothes to be just completely bleached again and bright. Revelations talks about how the garments have been washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you've crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Now who would pray for that? Who would pray to have a totally pure heart, to have a clean slate, to have all of the dirt of their sins washed away, blotted out, and to be filled once again with joy and the knowledge of salvation? It must be somebody that doesn't have much to be forgiven for, right? That could hold up the expectation that they can be completely made clean again and given a fresh start. This prayer must be for somebody whose sins are so easily removed that it takes a little hyssop branch to brush them away. Not like those big sins that maybe even we've committed. Those sins that are like leaving a permanent marker with the cap off and putting it in your pocket and having it stain all of your clothes. That stain is never coming out. You know, if you've got just a little bit to be forgiven for, you can pray something like Psalm 51, right? But what about if you've done something unforgivable? Ever felt like that? Ever felt that you've let God down? You have done something to someone else that is so bad that you're unforgivable? How could God ever forgive you? In the climactic scene to that goofy little movie, Anchorman 2, Ron Burgundy is about to get beat up by rival news crews. And to his rescue rides the Channel 9 news team. And they pull up on their motorcycles and they empty their gas tanks onto the pavement till they're all standing in a pool of gasoline. And the anchor from Channel 9 is smoking on a cigarette, and he tells the attackers that they need to back off or he's gonna drop that cigarette and they're all gonna go poof. And one of the attackers laughs at him and says, "You forgot one thing. You dropped that smoke and you're going to burn too." And he said in reply, "With all the things that I've done in my life, oh, I know I'm going to burn in hell. So I sure ain't afraid to burn here on earth." Now, that was played for laughs, but it's no laughing matter. There are people who feel that they're unforgivable, that the things that they have done are so bad that why bother to ask for forgiveness? It could never happen. I mentioned, I believe, before that I took training because one of the places where I lived, the kids were getting involved in satanic cults. And you wonder, now who would worship the devil? That just sounds ridiculous. But the trainer explained that these kids felt that they had done things so bad that there is no way that God could ever forgive them. And so they might as well score some points with the devil before they get to hell, because there's no way that God would ever care about them. Now, it's not just in crazy movies or in cults that people feel unforgivable, isn't it? I mean, maybe you felt that way. Have you ever carried around a burden from something you've done that you just couldn't let go? And you couldn't give it to God? Ever felt that what you've done was in your life was so awful why bother praying? God could never forgive you for that. God would never listen to you. Who would pray a prayer like Psalm 51 if they had any real sins, any unforgivable sins? Well, let me call your attention to the heading of this psalm. If you got your Bibles, you can pull them out and look at it. Probably don't usually read these, but the heading to this psalm says, "For the director of music, a psalm of David." This is the prayer of David. And I know you're thinking, "Oh, well, see, I told you, just what we thought. This is the prayer of a great Bible hero. I mean, we learned all about him in Sunday school, right? Learned that he had such faith and such courage that he stood up to the giant Goliath with just a sling and a stone. We heard about how he was a man after God's own heart, that he was the greatest king of Israel, that he was the great, 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 great grandfather of Jesus even. I mean, this is a Sunday school hero. We learned all that. But here's what they didn't teach you in Sunday school. In Sunday school, we learned 1 Samuel 17, where David faces Goliath, but we didn't learn 2 Samuel 11, at least not in Mrs. Johnson's class. This is the story of David and Bathsheba. Excuse me. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "She's Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite." Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. Now she was purifying herself from her monthly uncleanness. Then she went back home, and the woman conceived and sent word to David, saying, "I'm pregnant." Whatever your sins that you think are unforgivable and that keep you from God, look at David here. He starts by committing the sin of adultery of the heart. He looks at Bathsheba, he lusts after her, but then he proceeds to abuse his power by forcing her to come to him. And then he commits physical adultery. Actually, it's more than adultery. It's just pure sexual assault. And he's not done yet. Because when Bathsheba tells him that she's pregnant, then he launches a cover-up plan. If he can get Uriah home, then no one will suspect that the child isn't his. So he summons Uriah from the battlefield on the pretext that he wants to know how the war is going. And then after he asks him, he tells Uriah, go home to your wife and spend the night there. But Uriah is a loyal soldier. He is not going to go and eat and drink and lie in his own bed when his buddies are sitting camped out on the battlefield. And so he just stays at the palace outside the door that night, camping out. See, Uriah was a loyal guy, but David is furious. And so it goes from bad to worse, because now he's got to think of something else to cover it up. And so he sends Uriah back to the battlefront with a secret letter to the general. And in the letter, David instructs the general to place Uriah at the place of the heaviest fighting and then to draw everybody else back so that he's killed, which is what happens. In effect, David has him murdered. So, adulterer, abuser, murderer, betrayal of his role as God's leader. That's who David is in this story. And God knows all of it. Just like God knows all about us. When Uriah's wife heard that her husband was dead, she mourned him. And after the time of mourning was over, David had her brought to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing David had done displeased the Lord. So the Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he tells a story. He says, there were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb that he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to visit. David burned with anger against this man and said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. And this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all Israel and Judah. And if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing this, what is evil in his sight? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now therefore the sword will never depart from your house because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. This is what the Lord says, out of your own household I'm going to bring calamity on you. Before your very eyes I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you. And you'll sleep with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. David realizes how terrible he's been. He sees his own heart, and he doesn't like what he sees. Excuse me. And then he prays Psalm 51, because if you look at the rest of the introduction, it says this. For the director of music, a psalm of David, when the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. This isn't the prayer of an innocent Bible hero. This is the prayer of someone who has done something so shocking. And he realizes where his heart is, that his heart has been so darkened by sin. So who prays this? Not a hero, but someone who recognizes that they've been sinful from day one. Someone who recognizes what's in their own heart. And I would say someone who recognizes that they have done unforgivable things, but you see, that's really not the case. Because as much as he now sees his own heart, he also knows the heart of God. He also knows how much God cares, loves, and forgives. And that's why he asks to be pure again, to be clean again. That's why he asks for mercy and grace. And he gets it. Why? Because that's what God offers to all of us. The Bible says this in 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Whatever you've done, even if it's something you think is unforgivable, God is there to forgive. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this so that you won't sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. For the sins of the whole world, no matter what you've done, you have not done the unforgivable, because God's mercy is just a prayer away. Jesus died for us so that our sins can be washed clean. So no matter how deep the stain, it can be removed through his blood. So who would pray like Psalm 51? Someone who knows their own heart, but who also knows the heart of God. So this week, let me encourage you in your prayers to pray prayer of repentance. To come clean about all your faults and failures. God knows them anyways. And to seek God's mercy and grace, because it's there for you. And then on Friday, when we do our Better Than Fish on Friday challenge, what I challenge you to do is to walk your neighborhood, walk your block. If you can't walk it, drive it. If you can't drive it, just think about all the families on your block. And as you walk by their house, notice the things that are happening. Look to them, to your neighbor, not like David looked at Bathsheba to lust after what was there, but just see your neighbor. See if there's a toy in the yard, that they have kids. You didn't even realize they had kids. See if there's a broken car that sat there for a long time. See what posters they might have up, what's happening, and then say a prayer for them. Say a prayer that God might bless them, that God might keep them safe, that God might heal any infirmities that they might have, any diseases. and pray that they too might know the grace of God, which is greater than all our sin, that they too might be able to pray like David in Psalm 51 and know that the Lord will answer. Let us pray now. Lord, we admit that we are not perfect. And sometimes we're not a little imperfect, sometimes we're a lot. In fact, sometimes we may even feel that we've done things so horrible that we are unforgivable. But we know that's not true. For you have paid the debt for the sins of the whole world. And you invite us to once again open our heart to you so it might be cleansed as if cleaned by a mountain stream. You've restored us to the joy of our salvation. Lord, if there's any burden so great that people are separated from you, help us to put it on your shoulders and know that you carry and forgive. Amen.